Which of the Chronicles of Narnia should be read first? Well, I was recently chatting with Dr. Michael Ward, author of Planet Narnia, about this very topic. After eating lunch with him at a pub in Oxford, England, I asked him this.
Hey, just kind of a short summation, how important is it in getting the reading order correct with the Narnia Chronicles, and what is the correct reading order?
The correct reading order for first-time readers is the original publication order, namely starting with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. As long as you start with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe for your first reading of the Chronicles, you'll be fine. Just do not, under any circumstances, start with The Magician's Nephew. Even if the publisher has put a number one on the spine of The Magician's Nephew, ignore it and go straight to The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's much, much better in so many ways. I can't tell you how bad it is for publishers to mislead their readers into thinking that The Magician's Nephew is the opening story.
Welcome to Talking Beasts
from NarniaWeb.com,
where we explore the world of C.S. Lewis
and keep a watchful eye
on the latest Narnia movie news.
This is Talking Beasts.
Welcome back, Narnia Webbers. I'm Glumpuddle.
And I'm Rillian.
And I'm Jim Fan.
And today we're talking about an issue that continues to cause headaches among Narnia Webbers. The two orders, or the two reading orders of the Chronicles of Narnia. I'm sorry, Rillian. I know you just had a really long day at work, so sorry for an additional headache here.
yeah, no dedicated. Problem. It's not like I'm jet lagged at all from getting back from Europe. No worries.
That's right. But before we get started here, let's tease the Stump a Narnia Webber question that I'm going to have to answer at the end of this episode. Rillian, give it to me.
Okay. What was compared to the stones of Stonehenge?
In the Narnia books, I assume, not just in general.
Actually, it's specifically talking about the Doctor Who series. Yes, the Narnia books.
Gotcha. Okay. I'll try to ponder that one and somewhat moderate this discussion at the same time.
Good luck.
Okay, multitasking. Okay, so let me do a quick history lesson. For those of you that aren't familiar with all the facts regarding this issue, or if you are, then I'll give you a quick refresher. So the Chronicles of Narnia were, of course, originally published in the early 1950s, one book per year, beginning in 1950 with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then Prince Caspian, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, The Silver Chair, The Horse and His Boy, The Magician's Nephew, and The Last Battle. Sometime after the death of C.S. Lewis, numbers were added to the spines, and interestingly, both orders existed simultaneously for a while. So if you had walked into an American bookstore, you would see them listed in publication order. And if you fly across the Atlantic and had looked into a bookstore in the UK, they would be in chronological order. And for a while, both orders existed. That changed in 1994 when HarperCollins took over the publishing rights, and they took over the worldwide publishing rights. And so they changed everything to chronological order, and it's been chronological order ever since. The official reason given was, quote, "The HarperCollins editions of the Chronicles of Narnia have been renumbered in compliance with the original wishes of the author C.S. Lewis." They had that little note in one of the first pages of every book. Now, if you open a book today, it'll say something different because they later revised it. They softened some of the words, I think because they probably caught so much flack for suggesting that it was Lewis's wish to change the numbers on the spines, because he never actually wished any such thing. It's true that he expressed a mild personal preference for it, but he was alive for several years after completing the series. If he wanted something done about this, he could have done it himself. As far as I can tell, the two main pieces of evidence given for Lewis wanting chronological order are, number one, a letter from an American boy named Lawrence written to Lewis just after the Narnia books were completed. Lawrence had already read the books. He was asking Lewis, what order should I reread them in? Lewis suggested, well, maybe chronological order would be better. But in the same letter, Lewis also said, maybe it doesn't matter very much which order they are read in. And also, Douglas Gresham, stepson of C.S. Lewis, recalls that he had an interaction with Lewis where Lewis said, yeah, I think they should be read in chronological order. But again, Lewis was alive for several years after completing the series, and he didn't actually take any action about this. So the media likes to talk about this like it's a hotly disputed controversial issue, but the reality is that the vast majority of fans and scholars believe the publication order is superior. And my sense is that the few fans who prefer chronological order don't feel very strongly about it. But if any of our listeners do prefer chronological order and feel strongly about it, please post your reasons in a comment. I very much appreciate that. Okay, one more thing here, and then we'll be ready with the real discussion. I can see you guys ready to go. A few weeks ago, I posted a thread in the Talking Beast Facebook group about this, and here are a few responses. Jesse Montgomery wrote, quote, "Lewis wrote each book to be readable as a standalone novel, but I think it makes sense to read them in publication order. The novels become heavier in their themes, your knowledge of the world increases in a natural continuity," end quote. Felon Velvel, hope I said that right, quote, "I'm a publication order purist. The whole effect of The Magician's Nephew is spoiled if you don't already have some exposure and attachment to Narnia. Ideally, you will have read several Narnia books before that point." And finally, Carol Carr wrote, quote, "Read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe before The Magician's Nephew. After that, it is less important." Okay, long history lesson there. That was supposed to go a lot quicker. But let's just start with the basics. Rillian, how did you first experience the books, and what order, and what are your thoughts on which order is better?
Well, my first experience with the books was reading The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first. My dad read them to me, and he was kind of going through them. I think he did read them sequentially, and like back to back to back. So he'd read Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I don't think he read other books in between. But at one point, it was kind of interesting. He said, "You know, there is actually a book about the founding of Narnia, and it takes place at the dawn of time in Narnia, and it takes place a long time before The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe."
What?
And I thought, oh my goodness! I had this picture in my mind of like the Book of Kells, you know, like my father had this old tome, you know, an ancient manuscript that he was going to dust off, and you know. And read to us, and of course,
I'm picturing Gandalf and Minas Tirith sorting through all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, basically.
You know, and so that was kind of my experience. So I did experience them in publication order, and I'm so glad I did, because of course when you read The Magician's Nephew, so many things. First of all, to go back, when you read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the things that have mystery are supposed to have mystery with the reader as well. It's an experience for the reader. And with The Magician's Nephew, of course, I saw all kinds of significance with certain things, you know, like when the lamppost, piece of lamppost is thrown, of course, you're supposed to think, oh, okay. And as to how correct is it, the best way I can explain it is, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was a young boy named Luke Skywalker who did not know, spoiler alert, silence your mics for your speakers for the next 30 seconds if you don't know this, that Darth Vader was his dad, okay? You're not supposed to know that. Now, it's surely, if you want to do marathons later on, it kind of makes sense to do Star Wars in chronological order. But when you're experiencing it truly for the first time, there's certain things the reader is not supposed to know, and certain things the reader is supposed to kind of hearken back to as they experience the subsequent stories. So it's very important for the experience for the reader to experience it in publication order. And just like, you know, if you show someone, if they see episode 3 before they see episode 5, they're just going to go, okay, yeah, you know, and then they're kind of, it's just, I think that because of the intended experience that Lewis wanted for the reader to have, the publication order is very important.
Yeah. Okay, Jim Fan, you've had to be quiet for several minutes now.
Don't worry, I've been holding it all in.
Right. Jim Fan, your thoughts on the the publication order versus chronological order thing.
So as probably anyone who's been listening to the podcast for any length of time knows, I didn't grow up with Narnia. I didn't read the books until I was about 14 or 15. And the way I read them, I went to the I knew roughly about them. Like I kind of had an idea of what they were about, but I just had never read them. So I went to the library to go check them out. And the copy... well, what the library had there was they had all seven books bound into one book, like this giant tome. And so I was like, sweet, I don't have to check out seven books. I can just get them all right now. So that's the one I took. And that one is in chronological order.
Da-da-da-da.
So that's how I read it.
Truth comes
that's
out.
That's how I read it for the first time, because that's what was there. That's what was available. And then later on, when I went to go buy my own copy, I bought the same one because that's what I had. That was what I was familiar with. So that's how I read them for the first time. For the first several times. It wasn't until I didn't go back and reread them in publication order until much later down the line. And honestly, when I first started going online to like different websites and things, and people started, you know, people would start ranting about like the order differences, I'd be like, I don't understand why this is such a big deal, because I read them in chronological order and I enjoyed them just fine. In fact, I enjoyed them so much that I am now online on a website. And, you know, like history goes on. Obviously, this.
No, Jim Fenn, you're wrong. Obviously, if you read them in chronological order, you cannot be a big fan of Narnia. You don't know what you're talking about.
Apparently, but that's how it's almost how some people, or just like it's just some opinions felt so strong that it almost made me feel like, wow, like, did I like do something wrong? Like, what on earth?
Right.
So looking back, I didn't have any issues with how I read them. I like I'm kind of analytical, and I like things being quote unquote in order. Don't shoot me. So like it made sense. Like, of course they're going to put it together like from start to finish, so you can kind of follow the journey. As I've gotten older, and I have gone back and reread them in publication order, and I definitely see the other perspective for sure, because there is a big difference in in the writing style. Like if you read them in publication order, they do tend to build on each other in terms of mm-hmm. like they start out more simple in a way, and then they get a little bit more complex. And
yeah, that's kind of what Jesse said in the Facebook group. I thought that was really well said.
Yeah. So by the time you get to the end, then it's like, okay, there is a bit of not a jarring feeling, but bouncing around. Like if you do read Magician's Nephew first and you go straight from that to Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, it can be a little not off-putting, but like it's a very huge difference in styles. I think the other books don't jump around quite so much, but I definitely noticed that for sure, going from like the more complex, like fleshed out kind of version or writing style of the Magician's Nephew to very simplistic Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about the transition in writing styles.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. That's probably the biggest one, I feel like.
Yeah, I think either way, the books are so different in tone and the stories that either way, publication order or chronological order, it's not the same kind of stream through continuity you have in Harry Potter, where it's one leads right into the next. Either way, you're jumping around to some extent.
Yeah.
So it's yeah.
Can I ask, Jim Van?
Yeah.
Since obviously, I mean, when you read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you knew who asked Lion was. But then, of course, you also saw the movie first.
No, I didn't. I didn't see the movie first.
Oh, you hadn't seen the movie?
No, I hadn't. I was familiar with the stories, just because I knew roughly about them because like my dad had read them growing up, but we didn't read them as kids. Just there was a couple different reasons why we didn't. But like sometimes he would tell us about it. I remember one time, I think it was like Focus on the Family, like their kid magazine. They had an excerpt from Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, the one where Peter kills the wolf.
So at some point you reread The Magician's Nephew after having, I guess, read all of them. What was it like for you reading The Magician's Nephew at that point? Like you got like, hey, I've experienced Narnia. Now you kind of, even though you read it before, you're reading about the creation of Narnia. How did that experience change from reading The Magician's Nephew the first time, where that's the first book you ever read in full? And then how did it change to your later experience rereading it after having read all of them?
I don't honestly remember there being any big difference, because even before I'd gone into the books, like, I knew, okay, there's a lion. I know that there's a lamppost. I know there's Narnia. And I know the witch. And I knew that that the Jardis from Magician's Nephew, I knew she was going to be the White Witch. Like, I already knew that. I don't know how I knew that, but I did know that. So it when I went back and reread it, like, I'm sure some things did stick out as being like, oh, that's interesting. Like, now I fully see the connection where I didn't maybe see it before, but I don't remember it being this really huge thing.
Okay. I think what something you said, I think the fact that you talked about how even reading that first Narnia book, you still had a decent amount of background about Narnia.
Yeah,
you had a basic, which most people do, let's be honest. You know, most people, they know about the wardrobe. That's a really iconic scene when Lucy climbs into the wardrobe. But I think when we're really talking about which order is better, we're imagining someone who's in a vacuum. Someone has no knowledge of Chronicles of Narnia, which admittedly is not that many people.
Especially in the future of Netflix Narnia, they're going to adapt all of them, guys.
We'll see.
It's going to be great.
But my experience, of course, was obviously I read them in publication order for the first time. One night I was unable to sleep. I was about 12 years old, unable to sleep, came out into the living room and was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was just pissed off that I couldn't sleep and looked over and saw a set of Narnia books, which, thank God, were in publication order. So I just started reading Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because it was book one. I only meant to read the first few pages. And before I'd known it, I had read about half the book before I fell asleep. Then finished it the next day. I strongly feel that publication order is better for the first-time reader that has no knowledge of Narnia at all. Now, there are people who have not read them, but kind of like you, Jim Fan, they know enough. They know there's a scene where Lucy gets into a wardrobe, and they're familiar with the iconic image of the lamppost and the fawn, and they know that there's a lion in there somewhere. So for them, sometimes I'll say, for those people like them, if I'll read Narnia, they're like, oh, I don't know, it doesn't look that great to me. I've done this before, I'll give them The Magician's Nephew because I'll say, hey, this is like a prequel origin story. Oh, okay, interesting. They might actually hook them. And because all the stuff that we've talked about with The Magician's Nephew, you have all those surprises of, oh, that's where the wardrobe came from in that. Well, if you already know what, if you already have a basic pop culture knowledge about there's a lion, there's a witch, there's a wardrobe, there's a lamppost, etc., then that doesn't really apply as much. But for the theoretical first-time reader, you go into this as a total virgin, you know nothing at all about Narnia, then I think we're all in agreement that ideally it's the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe for a lot of reasons. Now, there are some straight-up things that do not make sense. I mean, it's indisputable in chronological order. Most obvious one, which Dr. Ward pointed out later in that interview, Raelian.
What makes it the correct reading order, do you think? What makes it so much better? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was the first book published. So Lewis knew that his readers would need to be introduced to, say, the character Aslan. So when Aslan is first mentioned in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the narrator says, now the children didn't know who Aslan was any more than you, the reader, do. And so there are pains taken to introduce the character.
There's an experience there for the reader that's...
Yeah. But when The Magician's Nephew was published 6th out of the 7 books, Lewis knew that his readers would have probably encountered Aslan 5 times previously. So Aslan is not specially introduced in The Magician's Nephew. You just see this lion walking up and down singing Narnia into being, and there's no special introduction given of him. So it completely skewers, it completely gets things back to front if you start out with a book where he's not introduced and then move to a book where he is introduced.
And all this stuff is, by the way, I have a 3-part YouTube video about this that goes into all the order debate stuff in a lot more detail, kind of restate it there. But so I definitely feel that fairly objectively, like there's some things that just don't make sense, that I think you can say fairly objectively that publication order is better than chronological order, that it makes sense more. But so we're all in agreement there. But what I really wanted to get at in this one is, how much does it really matter? And that's part of the thread I was posting in the Facebook group. It's so easy for passionate discussions about this to get going among fans. But is this really that big of a deal? And what do you guys think? And I was a little bit surprised by the response in the Facebook group, because you think of this as something that everyone's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the numbers are wrong. It's so annoying. But it was actually the passion in Dr. Ward's voice that made me go, how important is this really, though? Is this something, is this a hill worth dying on? I mean, what do you think, really? And is this really that big of a deal?
Well, first of all, I have to say, I mean, I've known Dr. Ward for years, and that's just kind of how he is. So I have to say, he's a passionate person, and he just, the inflection in his voice, if you, like, he'll talk about just the Lord of the Rings, like we were talking about it over lunch, or even, like, just the way he introduced himself to my wife. He's like, well, hello. And it's just a very booming, like, with a lot of inflection and variation. So anyway, part of it, I just have to say, he's a very passionate person. He just talks like that a lot. But here's, I actually kind of like how you said it. You said, well, it's annoying. Yeah, it's annoying. I don't know how much farther I would go. Let me put it this way. I think that the reader does kind of miss out. My wife, I told her, okay, you need to read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first. You need to read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first. Well, then she just went out and got the books, and she forgot what I told her, and she's, well, this one had a one on it, so she just started with The Magician's Nephew. And,
but surely she had some basic knowledge from pop culture, like I was talking about, and certainly from you, right? You married her.
But then she reread them in publication order. So I think that the reader misses out on a couple, really, there might be some issues with, like you said, Jim Van, well, there's kind of a weirder transition in style from Magician's Nephew to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe than there is Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to Prince Caspian. I think the reader misses out on kind of those moments of, you're right there with the Pevensies. You don't really know or understand who Aslan is. But I will also caveat it with this. You kind of are robbed of that also if you're just kind of growing up with it in pop culture now, and you just kind of know what the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is, and you kind of know who Aslan is. So you might be robbed of it that way too.
Sure.
And I do think that you miss out on some experiences with the Magician's Nephew. I do agree that, yes, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is the better introduction to Aslan. But honestly, compare, and I feel weird comparing it to Star Wars, because frankly, the Chronicles of Narnia are better stories than Star Wars. Sorry. But honestly, would it be as significant to maybe the experience? Is it the Darth Vader, I am your father moment? Not quite. I mean, that's a pretty, if you can somehow arrive unspoiled at that, that's pretty cool. But to spoil that would be maybe more significant. So I think it's not about plot twists. It's not about spoilers. It's really about the experience of each book, especially though The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe.
But like, do you really miss out? I mean, but I feel like people take that perspective, and then they just kind of broadly apply it to everyone, even to people who did have a working knowledge of Narnia. And I do feel like sometimes, like, it's like you guys have said, like, you don't want to go up to someone and, you know, they say, yeah, I'm reading it in chronological order, and be like, oh, like, just, oh, you're like, you ruined it. Like, that's not a good way to make people feel.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make people less of a fan. Because obviously, like, I made it out okay.
No, it certainly does not. It certainly does not, for the record.
I would say, if someone said, hey, so I saw The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movie, which book should I start with? I would still say, start with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. However, for the person,
I don't know if I'd agree, actually.
But, no, I would still say, start with the Narnia books and read them in the publication order.
And yeah, and Jim Fan obviously is the evidence that, yeah, you can absolutely read these books in chronological order for the first time and still become a huge fan. It's not like you brought up the Star Wars example, Rillian. And honestly, for me, the concern is not if you watch the movies in chronological order, then you won't have the I am your father surprise. For me, the concern is Phantom Menace sucks.
Yes.
And you're not going to, it's like, are you even going to want to finish the movies if you start with Phantom Menace? So, but that is not the case with Chronicles of Narnia. Yes, there are some, wardrobe first. That's the way to do it, ideally. But they are still seven great books, whatever order you read them in.
You could even read Prince Caspian first, you guys.
Actually, I'd say that's the. I'd say Prince Caspian and Last Battle are probably the only ones where I'm like, I could be wrong. I wonder if you'll even. I'm sure there will be people listening going, "Oh, well, I read Prince Caspian first or whatever." but I think those are the only two I would think. No, like Prince Caspian has to be a follow up to Wardrobe. I think to work, you have to have that experience of you went to Narnia, now you're coming back to it, just like the Pevensies.
I want
to
ask you something real quick. You said. If I would recommend they read it in publication order if they've already seen The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe movie. Why is that?
I think I'd give them a choice in that case.
How gracious of you.
Sorry. Well, I mean, in that case, mainly, I think, we talked about a few episodes ago about the experience of, like, I think it was in our Narnia versus Lord of the Rings episode. You see the Lord of the Rings movies. And then you read the book, and the experience is you're kind of overwhelmed by, oh my gosh, the movie cut out. But with Narnia, which is built on poking your imagination, encouraging you to make up the pictures, I think going from movie to book will feel like a downgrade. Really, it's not. It's just that because you've got all these pictures from the movie invading your mind, you really probably can't have the experience Lewis intended, where he's so good at nudging your imagination, giving you a little bit, letting you fill it in. So in that case, because they already know about Aslan and the White Witch and all that, I think I'd probably say go ahead and read The Magician's Nephew so you can still have that experience of forming new pictures in your mind as Lewis intends. But I would just say if they really love Wardrobe and say, oh, I want to read the book, I wouldn't discourage that. I might present Magician's Nephew to them as an alternative and say, well, it's a prequel. You're going to learn some things about Wardrobe that might interest you. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I do agree that Magician's Nephew is a good segue into the books for someone who either has a working knowledge of Narnia or has seen the film. Because, at least for an adult, maybe not for a child, but for an adult, it's a good way to be like, here's something that you definitely don't really know about. You're already going to be familiar with the stuff they're talking about. So it's not going to be, you're going to understand what's going on, but it's also, can be a nice introduction to Narnia, like an alternate introduction if you don't do.
Or a segue to an audience that remembers the Walden films, but we have to entice them back for a new version of Narnia, maybe Magician's Nephew. I think everything you just said there could apply to Netflix. Maybe this is a reason you start with The Magician's Nephew. So the people that, what, they're making new Narnia movies and they make those like 10 years ago? Well, here's something new for you.
Yeah, and so I think it works. It's, you know, I think ideally, obviously, we all think of, you know, the kid who grows up with Narnia, like, give him Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first. But in today's age, today's world, that's not always going to be the case. So it's not a bad alternate.
I wanted to put something in front of you guys and see what you think. Let's put ourselves in the mindset of whoever it was that first put the chronological order numbers on the spine in the first place and say, was that a good decision? Because my understanding is that during Lewis's lifetime, they did not have numbers on the spine at all. They were blank. And then sometime after his death, a publisher comes up and says, we need to have numbers on the books so people know what order to read them in. Americans especially need numbers on their books. And they go with chronological order. It's just the way
sadly
it goes.
True.
Yeah. By the way, I worked in a bookstore for a while. And yeah, when the series doesn't have a number on it, it's so frustrating. Customer wants to know, which one do I go first? And it's, let me look up the copyright dates. Okay, I guess you read this one first. And it's really frustrating. So I understand. So basically, at that point, Gresham says, you know, well, I have this memory of talking to my stepfather. And he mentioned something about, yeah, I think they should be read in chronological order. Well, I guess we should put, if you want numbers on the spines, I guess they should be in chronological order. What do we think about that? I mean, in some sense, we are revising an author's work in some sense, because Lewis didn't do that. You could question, if you're really strictly a purist about this issue, you should say there should not be numbers on the spines at all. If it's all about leave the series the way Lewis left it, then you should leave it without numbers at all. But if we say, but practically there's a need in today's world to have numbers and we have to go with one or the other, which one do you go with? They went with chronological order. Rillian, what do you think? Was that the right decision?
If I were the publisher, I'd have done publication order. It's just that simple. And here's the biggest reason why. Because we've kind of framed this whole discussion around The Magician's Nephew and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The reason I would do it in publication order is really just to focus on, forget The Magician's Nephew. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was the world's introduction to Narnia. It was the first book written, and it was, I still think, Lewis would say, it was intended for the first experience to be the first experience into Narnia. So I think what an argument I would have made is, okay, publication order, chronological order, the real issue is that The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe should be the first book. That would be my argument.
What do you think, Jim Fan? Put yourself in the position of the publisher. From an ethical point of view, essentially revising Lewis's work years after his death, and you got to go with one or the other, chronological order or publication, which one seems like the less wrong thing to do, I guess?
Well, I feel like if you don't have anything to go off of and you need to have some kind of order put to it, then you would go with publication because that is what just logically makes sense. I think where the maybe confusion lies is that maybe people thought that Lewis wanted it to be chronological. Maybe
there
he didn't actually,
letter.
You know, so like that was what makes it kind of a gray area because it's like, well, if this is what you think he wanted, then wouldn't that be what you do, even if logically it doesn't actually make sense to pretty much anyone else?
Right. And if we had, you know, clear evidence that Lewis wanted this, then you have to say, well, that's indisputable. But we really don't. Because
you can't be too harsh on them. Because, I mean, I've read the letter from Lawrence or to Lawrence as well. And I get where a publisher would say, we should put it in publication or chronological order.
Yeah, I can understand that. But I almost wonder if they just didn't think it through. It sounds crazy to say, but maybe they just really didn't think it through. Because, yes, you read Lewis's letter, and he says, I think I agree with, you know, your order for reading the books, meaning a chronological order. But, by the way, consider that he was talking to someone who had already read the books and was asking, what order do I reread them in? And in the same letter, Lewis says, perhaps it doesn't matter very much in which order anyone reads them. So I think the publication order has to be innocent until proven guilty. That's the order Lewis released them in. Unless there's clear evidence that Lewis wanted a change, we have to presume publication order is innocence, basically. And that letter is not strong enough. But even if if we look at what Gresham said, where I asked Jack himself, what order do you think they should be read in? And he said chronological order. Well, consider the fact that Lewis was alive for several years after the books were published and never asked for, these are all private court, you know, these are private interactions that Lewis probably never thought would ever go public. Lewis could have made some kind of definite public action about this, and he didn't. I also think, final point, if Lewis had arranged them in chronological order in some way, I think it's very likely he would have made some revisions to the text to make it flow better, to make them work in that order. I base that on the fact that when Lewis released them in the United States, when the books first appeared in the United States, Lewis proofread them and tweaked some things. He found some things that, I want to do that a little bit differently. The most famous one, of course, was the ending of the Dark Island chapter in Dawn Treader is totally different.
Or a character name change.
That's right. Changed Maugrim to Fenris Ulf. So even that, just proofreading them before they get published in the United States, he still found some things like, let me tweak a few things here. I think if Lewis had done something major, like put numbers on the spines and say, you should read them in this order, I don't think there's much doubt. He would have found some of the things that didn't make sense. Like, he certainly would have fixed some of the little things, like none of the children knew who Aslan was any more than you do. And there's another one in the silver chair, by the way. The silver chair teases the horse and his boy.
That's true.
He would have changed those things. Maybe he would have gone a step further. It added a little more build-up to meeting Aslan and the Magician's Nephew and cut some of it out of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which, as the author, it's totally his right to do that. Maybe he would have improved the series by doing that. I can't say for sure he would not have.
I think I would agree it's probably just overall safer and more logical, but can't really. I feel like it's hard to argue with that, but apparently.
Right. So I would ask, final question, at this point, what do you think they should do? Even like, you know, Rillian and I, we feel pretty strongly about publication order. Jim Fan, less so. What should they do at this point? What if they was announced? do you think they should actually change the order back at this point?
Yes.
Would that just create more confusion? Okay, Rillian, no. Go. Why should they? Well, oh, you don't think so?
No, nope. Wouldn't cause any more confusion.
Oh, do tell.
I think they should change it back. Well, here's the thing. People who've read the Chronicles of Narnia, if anyone's read it multiple times, I think at some point they're going to realize, oh, calling Jim Tan, oh, I've actually learned that the magician's nephew was not written first. And would it cause confusion? I mean, the people who are picking it up for the first time, who don't really know a lot about it, they may not even know that, yeah, actually, HarperCollins used to publish them in chronological order, but now they're publishing them. They're just going to probably, like the reader that we're kind of talking about, even who has the working knowledge of Narnia, the person who has the working knowledge of Narnia isn't thinking, ah, yes, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was published first, followed by Prince Caspian, then the Lord's Dawnshadow. That's not the person we're talking about who still has the working knowledge of Narnia. This is someone who's just, they're going to pick it up and start with the number one.
Right.
So I guess may they be confused if they, here's the thing, honestly, if they're confused because they see, oh yeah, my sibling has this, but they're ordered differently. You know what they're going to do? They're going to pull out their smartphone, Google it, and they're going to get the answer. I mean, that's just the world where they're like, oh, why are the Narnia books numbered differently? And that will be their, they'll have their answer.
There you go.
I'm just telling you, like, if people are confused, they're going to go, oh, what does Google say?
My initial reaction is, oh, maybe it would just cause more confusion. Maybe they could, for several years, they could have released copies with no numbers on the spine, which, by the way, in 2005 they did. The same year the movie was coming out, they released versions of the so-called adult editions of the Chronicles of Narnia. Didn't have numbers on them at all.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe they do that for several years to kind of ease people out of chronological order and then bring publication order back. Maybe that'd be one way to do it.
And then Narnia Netflix will do it in chronological order.
Yeah.
No! It's good. That would mess everything up. No, I must say, yeah, like, it's, although there's, for marketing and storytelling reasons, and there's valid reasons you might want to do chronological order for these new Netflix adaptations, it would be kind of it'd be kind of annoying for me as a fan, because probably the best thing that the Walden movies did for Narnia's legacy was really cement publication order in a lot of people's minds. It gives me some legitimacy when I'm trying to explain. Wait, someone's looking at me like they're saying, wait, you're saying I should read number two first? And they just think I'm a crazy, nerdy fan. But when I go, which I'm not saying I'm not, but then I say, well, you know.
Let's be honest here.
But it's not because I'm a crazy, nerdy fan.
Exactly. But when I say, no, hey, see, they made The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe movie first, it gives me a little more credibility. And when they're, if they do the Netflix adaptations in chronological order, it will take some of that away from me. But anyway, bottom line, yes, I hope everyone will read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe first, because we think it's overall better. But these are seven great books. You'll probably like them a lot either way, but maybe more if Wardrobe's first. I would just leave it at that.
There you go.
Let's jump into Arnie Weber.
Okay, here's the question. What was compared to the stones of Stonehenge? This question was submitted by the Narnia Nana.
Narnia Nana. I might have known. All right, Stonehenge. So what was compared to Stonehenge? Okay, I may have to ask for a hint here. I know the ruins of Caer Paravel, maybe. It could be something in the silver chair. I think the giant city that said under me, I think that might be it, actually. So it's probably down to those two, but I'm not super confident. Why don't you go ahead and give me a hint?
The hint, it says, and I quote, "Think their size," unquote.
Their size. I'm not sure I know what that means, to be honest.
Oh, I do. I'm not going to say it's not my question.
Darn it. Maybe there should be a lifeline option to give it to a co-host. their size. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it's the giant city in the silver chair. Oh, giants. Their size.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say it was the giant city in the silver chair. Final answer.
You are incorrect.
What?
You were close, though. The stones forming the Giant's Bridge in the Silver Chair are described as being as large as the stones at Stonehenge.
Oh, okay.
Because you said on the hill.
Got the giant part right. It just wasn't the giant city.
But so is that what you were looking at me, Jim Fan, as you were over there looking at your newly painted nails you've been working on during this discussion?
Busted.
And you're just sitting there like, oh, I know the answer. Is that exactly you were thinking of the Giant's Bridge?
I was thinking of the Giants. I wasn't thinking of any one thing in particular because they're in it a lot.
Wipe that smug expression off your face then. You didn't have it any more right than I did.
It's okay. We love you. Don't worry.
Good. I'm happy.
Jim Fan loves you.
We'll just end on that dour note like any Marshwiggle would.
Seems appropriate.
Jim Fan, we've gotten requests for you to do the outro, I'm afraid. So by popular demand, I'm going to let you take it away.
I guess I can take one for the team if that is what is needed. All right. You've been listening to Talking Beasts, a NarniaWeb.com podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. And be sure to subscribe and post a comment below or in the Talking Beasts Facebook group, which is super fun, by the way. You can also email us directly at podcast@narniaweb.com, rillian@narniaweb.com, jimfan15@narniaweb.com. Or glumpuddle@narniaweb.com. I think you get the gist. Special thanks to the rest of our podcast team, AJ Aiken, Riotian, and the Rose Tree Dryad. For the latest Narnia Netflix news, it's in there now, please visit narniaweb.com. A new episode of Talking Beasts is posted on the 7th and 17th of every month, and we'll be back on November 17th. Until then, further up and further in.